This is the LarryInFishers.com podcast. I'm Larry Landon. Today we're going to do something we've been doing annually for several years, talk about the Fishers Advisory Committee on Disabilities and activities for the month of March. March is Disability Awareness Month in general, and it has been a focus of attention for the local committee for some time. I'm with Cecilia Coble, who is the president of the Fishers City Council and has been very active leading that advisory committee for many years, and also Stacy Oldham, who's will be the keynote speaker for the March 1st Disability Awareness Month kickoff event. You never know when someone will listen to a podcast, but if you're listening beforehand, you know, people are certainly welcome to come to Launch Fishers, the theater there, where at 8:30 a.m. on March 1st, there'll be a kickoff event. So, ladies, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedules to be with me today. Cecilia, let me start with you, because the Fishers Advisory Committee on Disabilities has come a long way. You just started off as kind of an ad hoc group with some support, of course, throughout the city for the past several years. In recent years, you've had, through efforts of yourself and the mayor, Mayor Scott Fadness, you've codified the existence of your committee into city ordinances, so it will live beyond the time you're involved, or Scott Fadness or Stacy or any of you are involved. Yes. It will continue on because of that effort. So I would like you to start off, Cecilia, talk about your committee and its heavy involvement in the month of March, which is Disability Awareness Month.
Yes, thank you, Larry, for having us today to talk about March Disability Awareness Month. We're really proud of what's been put together here. We've made so many inroads in the space of inclusivity and accessibility and providing more opportunities for people with disabilities. Quite honestly, each city is required to have an ADA transition plan. And when we became a city, I approached the mayor and said, as a leader of on the city council and as a parent of a child with intellectual disabilities and autism, I really wanted to do more than just looking at curb cuts and right-of-ways and sidewalks. And Stacy, she was a part of that ADA transition task force. And we had a lot of ideas together. And honestly, this has been a collective endeavor of stakeholders that we gathered. So early on, it was more of a grassroots group where we identified people in our community that are wanting to help us in moving forward with disability inclusion, with our parents, our caregivers with disabilities, people with disabilities, employers, businesses, direct support providers, educators. So we've all come together, and in a short period of time, we really have done amazing things, and we really feel this year, you know, we are fueled for the future, because we've gathered our stakeholders. We're helping other cities to develop their advisory committees. And each year we have more people that are partnering with us.
And we'll talk more about that as we move along in this discussion. But Stacy, yes, you will be giving the keynote speech,
yes,
at the kickoff March 1st. I mentioned earlier, for Disability Awareness Month. Again, it's 8:30 in the morning at the Launch Fishers Theater. Without giving away too much, give us the major themes of what you plan to include in your address.
Well, I have titled it Fueled for the Future. I do share my particular journey of 40 years with MS and my story about that. But more so, what to piggyback kind of on what Cecilia said, we are at a point with our committee, you know, starting in 2016, it was awareness, having a monthly March event, and then moving forward there. Well, today, you know, Cecilia's out there every day doing something. We have several of our committee members. This is not a one-year type of thing. So one of the things things that my speech will focus on is the way that all of the pieces and parts and partnerships and buildings and our parks department, everything coming together that leads us perhaps to the next 40 years. And what does that look like here? We're on our way and we have some great things underway now. What is, you know, not only my disease 40 years from now going to look like, but how about this community and how we serve those with intellectual and physical disabilities in the future?
I want to get back to some of that a little later in the podcast. But Cecilia, Disability Awareness Month in Fishers, you have many of the same partners you've had in the past, both in the private sector, nonprofit sector, government sector. Your sponsor is Old National Bank. But you do have a new sponsor in, or partner, I guess, in Indy Fuel. We'll talk more about that in detail. But talk about how you and the Indy Fuel ended up getting together.
Right. Well, the Indy Fuel, they provide opportunities for people with disabilities. In their program, they have an adaptive hockey team. There's a sled hockey team. I've learned a lot that I didn't know about, that there are actually hockey teams that include people with disabilities. And when we were in talks with developing a new event center, I wanted to make sure that space was accessible to people with disabilities, and that in the future we could expand in those kinds of programs and be able to host big tournaments. And I'm talking like world-class, international, adaptive hockey and other events there for people with disabilities. And everyone was on board, so we brought in some key people to come and look at the space and to weigh in on what that space would look like and to be able to ensure that we could host some world-class events that included disabilities in that event center.
And anyone who's driven by the construction site can see that the event center is moving along. I'm not sure if it's totally enclosed yet, but it's close to it, if not already done. And the target date for that to open up would be November of this year, later on this year. But Stacy, the Fuel are now in their final season at the Indiana Farmers Coliseum, which is located at the State Fairgrounds.
Yes.
And on March 22nd, the Indy Fuel is going to have a game there at that location. That will be Disability Awareness Night. Tell us more.
Yes, it is. Well, when I spoke with those at the Indy Fuel about, you know, this partnership and such, their main statement that they always say is hockey is for everyone. In fact, this past weekend was that hockey is for everyone night. So when we spoke about that, they're very much on board with the March Disability Awareness Month being an entire night to celebrate those with disabilities. Well, for us, what that means is that we are selling tickets. We have several left, but it comes with a T-shirt, and it's $25. Part of the proceeds actually benefit our Fishers Advisory Committee on Disability. So that night, it's March Disability Awareness Night, celebration. And yes, it's still in the Indiana Farmers Coliseum at this particular point, but we do, when you buy a ticket, you're going to be kind of grouped together with others from Fishers. So, and the T-shirt, it says on the back, Fuel for the Future, obviously. The partnership is wonderful because of the fact that the Fuel are coming here. I sat in a game one night and realized in the section where I sat, that they have a concierge for those with disabilities. And someone basically served me, do you need a drink? Do you need this? Do you need that? If we can bring that kind of concierge mentality that they're already having in place to our facility here in Fishers, how welcoming would that be? So our partnership, the game night, there are a couple secrets coming out that game night. Ooh. So I hope people will be available to join us.
Well, I know the mayor and his staff listen to these podcasts. You've brought up a lot of interesting ideas for the event center. And just so people know, it will not be known as the event center when it opens. They're probably going to find a sponsor, a name sponsor. We just haven't finalized that deal yet. So it will have a different name once it opens later on this year. Let me go to Cecilia and ask about something else, because one thing you have done in the past, and you're doing it again this time around, is an ally campaign. So explain what that's about.
Sure. We're encouraging people to learn more about disability inclusion. And sometimes people are very apprehensive about disabilities. They're scared to ask some questions. So we've provided a kit for the community that it can be downloaded. It's found on the Fishers website at fishers.in.us/disability awareness. But it's some social media graphics. It's best practices. You know, sometimes people don't even know how to talk to someone with a disability. And so we've included terminology as well that is the best practice in terms that are used now. We don't use certain terms that many people used way back years ago, like, you know, retarded, and we don't use those words anymore. We always talk about a person with a disability is a person first with a medical condition or with a disability. So we always say, this is my daughter, Krista, and she has, autism. She is a person, and she has a diagnosis. She has a disability. So it's very important. And we provide some T-shirts. We provide information about Disability Awareness Month and a yard sign and decals. And so it's become very popular. We have encouraged people to save their shirt to be environmentally friendly. So it's the same shirt that you can wear year to year. But if you don't have your kit, you can also pick up kits and shirts and signs at the Municipal City Services Building, I believe, starting March 1st, if not sooner. I need to double check on that. But we always have it starting March 1st, sometimes a few days beforehand. But you can pick up in the lobby there your T-shirt and your materials, or you can download things, like I said, online. So,
well, if people aren't familiar with it, the City Services Building is right next to where the new City Hall Arts Center is under construction, and it's the old police station. For people who maybe lived here a while before the new police headquarters was constructed, and, I've said this, I think, every time we have had a podcast about this subject. I worked for the federal government for 23 years, and what I discovered was just how productive people with disabilities can be with just some adjustment. One of the sharpest people I ever worked with had total blindness. He started off with Braille. Then the technology improved. We had something called VersaBraille, which was a technology-driven, you're not really dealing with the book. The VersaBraille would move not a screen, but a bar that would be there. And it was just about, well, now they've got even better technology going from text to voice, where you can review things much more quickly. I've seen people with total hearing impairments who have been able to do tremendous work. I actually worked with a lady, I worked for a very short time at the Defense Department early on in my career, who was in a wheelchair, could not move her arms, mm-hmm. and typed with a fixture in her mouth. Very, and it was amazing what that woman could do with that kind of adjustment. Her ability to work and be productive is amazing.
Well, let me jump in here real quick.
Go ahead, Stacey.
I'm going to share a little bit. I said I would keep a secret, but when you think about all of the things that you just said and what those with disabilities can do that we don't realize, one of the things that we're going to see on March Disability Awareness Month night at the Indy Fuel is a blind hockey team. Can you imagine playing hockey and yet you're blind? I'm fascinated by the possibilities here, and so I wanted to share that.
Yeah, and
comment.
That's amazing, because I had I was a manager the last 6 years I was the federal government. A gentleman that worked for me coached a blind baseball team, and they figured out where the ball was because there was some kind of technology in the ball which. Mm-hmm. Because when you have blindness, you have a much more acute hearing capability, and they were able to hit the baseball
exactly
based upon that some kind of a tone or some kind of a noise inside the ball. Just amazing to me. So I can see where hockey, you could do something very similar to that. Well, yes. That would be something to see, a reason to check in that night. Let me ask you, Stacy, about the Fishers Arts Council. That's a group that's been involved with your committee in the past for Disability Awareness Month, and they've done this before, I believe, and doing it again. They have a second Friday event for artists every month, and in the month of March, they're going to have something special for disability art. So tell me what we know about that.
Yes, usually what we've done is to, with the Fishers Arts Council, of course, in coordination, they've had a night where those with disabilities have submitted some type of artwork that will be featured, and those artists who are producing these items and whatever featured sometimes all around town in different businesses. So I think the most appealing thing I ever saw of this was one of our HSE high school students who is great at creating comic books and speaking to comic book stories. Well, I'm not sure what the artists are doing this particular year, but I'm always amazed at the talent behind it. I can't draw a stick figure, Larry, so I'm always impressed by anything, but in particular, you know, there's nothing that stops these folks, and this is how their talent is showcased.
Yes, my elementary education came mostly from the Sisters of Providence, and they never could teach me how to do art either. So let me go to Cecilia, because we talked about some of the nonprofit groups that are partnering with you, but Old National Bank is your main sponsor. Of course, that's the private sector, but a very large part of the private sector in Fishers would be the One Zone Chamber of Commerce, and they are going to have an event on March 13th. Their luncheon for that month will be focused on employers. So tell me what is planned for that event.
Sure. Well, we're really fortunate that as we've evolved, we continue to bring in some amazing community partners, one of them being One Zone, and they're really focused on helping us bring awareness to their members and the business community about how do you hire people with different abilities. And we have a panel where there's going to be discussion on, you know, how do you go about finding those kind of candidates and how do you interview them? What kind of resources are available? People don't realize that there are job coaches that help to do all the training. And so an employer does not have to be doing all this training. Many times there's a job coach that comes alongside someone with a disability that does all the training for the employer. Accommodations are many times not even very expensive to do, and it turns out that these employees are excellent candidates, excellent workers. They need an opportunity, and there are a lot of organizations that help with job coaching and work with the disability community, but they really try to find the right job, the right fit with the right employer, the right business. So they're going to have those stories. They're going to have panelists that are working, that are part of a business or corporation, and explain how that process went and the success that this has become here in Fishers and beyond.
Working in the federal government, both as a manager and a union official at different times of my career, I learned a lot about reasonable accommodations. Mm-hmm. And I think what scares some private employers as much, how am I going to be able to accommodate these people with disabilities? Yet my experience has been that, number one, they're not as expensive or difficult as you think. And number two, as you mentioned, there's help available, subsidies in some cases.
Well, I think you have to look at, we have a member of our committee, Michelle Steltz, who, and I believe they're a sponsor of ours, Opportunities for Positive Growth. And there are lots of times where this particular company sends a job shadow person for training that individual and whatever. And truly, like you said, it's not that expensive to accommodate, and the training is all provided so that there is success, a job coach and whatnot. what have you. So the possibilities are endless for those with disabilities. Voc rehab also is very key, but it does happen because we're fully capable. We really are.
We are recording this podcast at the Hamilton East Library in downtown Fishers. It's a library system that manages both this library, the one in Noblesville, as well. It's all one system. And we're at the Ignite space and in the AV studio there. We're at a TV audio studio here. They have 3D printers. They have art supplies. It's an amazing place here at Ignite. I love the library in general, but Ignite is a pretty spectacular place, and that's where we are recording this. But I'll stay with Stacy for a moment because Hamilton East Library is a major partner and has been for years for Disability Awareness Month. I wasn't sure where to start. There are so many activities that the library is sponsoring in the month of March.
Well, I know that there are various programs. The interesting thing is still about awareness and education. So having the library involved seems, you know, only natural to do. So there are various, if you go to the website for the library, you'll see several different educational opportunities. We also have had a partnership, I believe, with Ball State University for a speaker that's coming to talk about technologies, all of the different apps and things that's hard to keep up with, those types of accommodations that are readily available, and we have a speaker for that. So if you check out the dates, there's always something you can learn about at the library, and I believe they're going to pull out some books that are typical of children's books to read so that children, too, are a part of this awareness journey.
Let me go back to you, Cecilia, because Hamilton Southeastern High School will be the site for and location for an event called the Hamilton County Transition Fair. This is once again centered on employment. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's centered on employment, but also on resources. So this is an annual event, and it's hosted here at HSC Schools, and then the following year it rotates, and it's over at Carmel Clay Schools. So that event has, gosh, close to almost probably 100 vendors, 100 organizations that are represented that have information about accommodations, about employment activities, organizations like clubs, social clubs, housing, all kinds of information that someone with a disability of all ages can go and just get information and talk to representatives that are there to help. We have so many great organizations that are available, and we have resources that are available, and sometimes people just don't know about them. So one thing that maybe our community doesn't know is that on the Fishers website, we actually have a resource page, and we try to update that with various resources that people with disabilities can look at and see, you know, talking about services, talking about how to sign up for waivers and Medicaid or SSSI. And just what's available, respite, what clubs, what can my child, if I have a child with a disability, what's out there as a resource where they could get involved with like Special Olympics or Best Buddies or various things like that. So I highly encourage anyone with a disability, anyone that's a provider of disabilities or a caregiver of someone with a disability, to go to the Transition Fair and just walk around, talk to people, gather information. It's a great night to receive more information on disabilities.
Going back to Stacy, you mentioned this earlier about your battle with multiple sclerosis, and I have members of my family who suffer from this condition. And yet, what has amazed me so much is how far medical science has advanced where, you know, it's not easy dealing with MS, but yet it's amazing how people can live much closer to normal lives with treatments that are available today. And they have to be very personalized, specialized, because everybody has a little different battle with that. I know that's part of what you plan to speak about when you are the keynote speaker on March the 1st. Tell us a little more about how you have seen treatments, technology, and science move forward for a disability such as yours.
Well, Larry, I was 20 years old 40 years ago, so that means I'm going to be 60 this year, in case you're adding that up.
A mere youngster in my world, but go ahead.
But yes, when I first was diagnosed, here's a couple key things that I'll mention. There weren't treatments. Just 40 years ago, there was nothing but steroids. And when you have an autoimmune disease, you're trying to keep the immune system quiet because it's overactive. And not only does my system fight a cold if I get one, there's these little soldiers, and they keep going, and they, for some reason, which we have yet to figure out, start attacking the coating of my nerves. And so the story goes that I woke up and my entire right side of my body was like I'd had a stroke. And so the other thing that I was told by a doctor is when I was diagnosed was that people with MS don't live to age 50. So, you know, that's part of the story that I'll share where that came from. But if you think back as I tell my story, there are some very key things technology-wise, research-wise, that weren't available. For instance, I was one of the first people in the state of Indiana to have an MRI. And that was the way they diagnosed MS. And before that time, it was a spinal tap, or they really didn't have a way to diagnose. We didn't have a way to Google, what in the world is this MS thing? I thought I had a brain tumor. So all of these things coming together, and you look at just 40 years ago, even cell phones weren't available, and that's part of my story as well. And what we have today, over 30 different treatments. I've been on my feet now. I can't even tell you how many years I've been in remission. You still have to watch it, and there's still things about the disease, but I'm doing well. And most days I'm up on my feet with a cane. I do use a scooter for long distances, but somebody 40 years later, if we stayed in the past with only steroids, I wouldn't be here today.
Which is a testament to how research is moving forward. It's
yes.
Really amazing story. And you'll hear more about that at the kickoff at 8:30 a.m. on yes. March 1st at Launch Fishers. Cecilia, I know one of the major reasons you have been active in the community dealing with disabilities is your daughter has a disability, and you've already mentioned that. Explain how not just medical support, but family and community support is so important for somebody dealing with a disability.
Well, I think any time you're diagnosed with a medical condition, a disability, whether it's autism, cerebral palsy, MS, you know, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of it takes an emotional turn, sometimes emotional toll on people, and a lot of isolation. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure was that people felt connected, especially people who have disabilities in our community. And that's one thing that's happened here is that we're connecting people. We're introducing people as I talk to residents and constituents and they share with me their stories. I say, oh, you know, MS, you need to meet Stacy. You need to meet these other folks in our community. And they appreciate that. They like being able to connect with others that understand what they're going through. And it makes things easier, I think, if you have a support system in place. And I know for me as a special needs parent, being a part of Thrive Social Club has been amazing, not only just for the young adults that are 18 to 30 year old, but also the caregivers, the parents that are having to, you know, drive our young person to those events. We're connecting, we're socializing, we're able to cry, laugh, share, and understand the space and the experience that we're going through. And that helps us. That's helped us a long way, a lot. It's helped my daughter. Is the Thrive Social Club is something she every day is asking, what are we doing this weekend? And she just loves that group, and it's been a blessing to have that and see it grow, not only just in Fishers, but outside of our community. We have probably over 100 members now.
Well, I remember when Thrive Social Club was first introduced and you first talked about that, and it's a great story you're telling about what a success it has been. Before we end this up, I'll give you each a chance to say something to wrap this up. Stacy, anything you would like to add?
Well, thank you again, Larry. You always do such an amazing job sharing information for us, and it's an honor to be interviewed by you, I guess I would say. But I do want people to come to all of these events. I especially hope to share my story with everyone on Friday. There are journeys that all of us have. Disabilities are all different. And I'll talk about that. What exactly is a disability that I've learned over the last 40 years? The definition has definitely changed. I am really proud of this community. I'm proud of Cecilia, the other city council members, Mayor Fadness, and all of the people who are supporting us through their help on this project, the city employees, because I think that having that and having a city engaged has meant that these particular events, it's not an afterthought. We're very proactive here as a city, and it's noticed. It's noticed outside of our community. They want to be just like us. And that means great things for those of us with disabilities.
And Cecilia mentioned that you've been a model for other cities with the Advisory Committee on Disabilities. Anything you would like to add, Cecilia?
Well, again, I just encourage everyone to go to the Fishers website, fishers.in.us/disability awareness to get a list of all the events. The kickoff is Friday, March 1st at 8:30 at Launch Fishers. And again, there's tons of activities all month long. And I hope this podcast inspires people to get involved, to learn more. One of the highlights that's not listed there, but one of the things we've been doing every year is an event called My Point of View Day, where we invite our elected officials at all levels of government, our department heads, the mayor. We invite disability stakeholders, our educators, employers, direct support providers, and we gather in roundtable discussions to talk about various topics, housing, employment, social opportunities, accessibility, mental health. It's an invite-only event, but it's very powerful. And honestly, that event has really made an impact and has provided us with a way to collaborate and to move forward as a community and to really make positive change and impact for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And so I encourage anyone that is listening to the podcast, if they want to get involved with our disability inclusion efforts, to contact me. My contact information's on the website. Reach out, introduce them, have them introduce themselves with an email or a call, and I'd happy to talk to anyone that wants to work alongside us and be a part of our team. And I welcome anyone that wants to do that. So please, anyone that wants to learn more, please reach out.
Every time I do one of these podcasts, and I do this once a year, I always learn a little something I didn't know before. And I think anyone listening to this podcast would come to the same conclusion. Stacy, you were very kind, but I must say I'm just the facilitator. It's stories told by the two of you and people like you in the community that I try to highlight. So thank you very much, Cecilia Coble, the president of the Fishers City Council, and someone who's been key, a person with the Disability Advisory Committee in Fishers, and Stacy Oldham. You'll be giving the keynote speech March 1st. For kicking off Fishers Disability Awareness Month activities at Launch Fishers. Ladies, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.